Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, another Rookie Fever Player Profile. I'm here with Matt Bruning. We're going to talk about some Sam Howell. First of all, I got to know Matt back in the day from Fantasy Life app. And a lot of us just kind of grinding on there, a lot like we are today. Like, not so much in that space anymore, but... And that is where... And we'll get to Campus to Canton. But... I do want to get to the round table that you do with Matt Fox and Dennis Bennett, which kind of was born from the Fantasy Life app, and you guys have continued to do that. And then you've got Debbie Debates that you do with Felix and Austin. I've got to get Austin on for one of these two. I haven't talked to Austin. But the grind that you have committed to this has been really fun to watch, and watching, especially, like I said, I want to talk about the round table a little bit, but watching, and you said you guys hadn't even been around for a year, and that surprised me on Campus to Canton, just because to me it feels like you have.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, thank you, first of all, for allowing me to come on, because we've kind of, like, known each other as well as you can, like, through Twitter and NFLA, as you mentioned, for a while now. We kicked it off March 1st was our launch date, so we're coming up on a year. But we haven't quite hit it yet. It's been, like we were just talking before the show, it's been a lot of fun. Because I love everybody there, like all the guys that I work with. You mentioned you've had Felix on. Austin, he's the smartest of all of us, so definitely have him on. If you were impressed by Felix, which I'm sure you were, because he's a very good talker. Austin, he's amazing.
Felix has a memory.
Like, it's ridiculous, right?
Like Sean McVay of our space, just because of his memory, and he'll start talking about football games and actual plays that happened, and he's spot on. And it doesn't seem, it's almost, he's not necessarily picking the conversation or the game or the play. It's almost like he builds it into what you were talking about, and you're like, oh my God, I mean, I was talking about it, but it's incredible to me, honestly.
Yeah, he's an amazing storyteller. And I hope that he doesn't listen to this, because I try not to ever prop him up. But he's one of the people I respect the most in this space, with just what he, like, his, as you mentioned, his knowledge. And I'll say, like, Austin's right there too. Like, when it comes to like, he remembers players and what they did, draft capital that they got. Like, we brought up, I don't even remember, Felix brought up one time on the Debbie Debate a player that, I'm going to be honest, like, I don't even remember, got drafted, and Austin's like, oh yeah, he got drafted in the fourth round. This, I'm like, how did you know that without looking? So yeah, those, they're some of the smartest people here. But yeah, I mean, it's it's fun for me, and I'm sure it is for you too, right? We don't do this because it's not fun. We enjoy doing this. We love football. We love fantasy football. I mean, FLA, it really was the launching point for me. I'd played fantasy football, but never thought about doing anything in this space. And it was Matt Fox who actually reached out. He was one of the editors for the FLA blog back then.
Mm-hmm.
Knew I was a big Browns fan. I put a bunch of stuff out on Twitter about it. And he was like, well, hey, do you want to write about Browns games? I was like, yeah, absolutely. So I started writing about post-game and pre-game stuff. And then that led into, like, me doing fantasy rankings for them. And then it led me to, like, multiple different sites before I ended up here with Campus to Canton, and being a co-founder with Austin, Austin, Felix, Colin, and Jarek. And I know I'm forgetting somebody now, and Alfred. And I feel bad because it took me that long to think of Alfred. But yeah, we started this website, and most of it's because of our love for college football. And as you mentioned, like, there's not really anybody doing the Campus to Canton stuff, and we've dedicated the website to that format. But it's been... It's a crazy grind. You don't really think about it. I mean, it was back in, I think I started this, it was right around, my son was probably just born or maybe a year old. So it's been 7 to 8 years almost of doing all this stuff. And it goes by so quick. Like, you don't realize it. And then you go back and look, and like, wow, like, I've been doing it for that long. It's kind of, it's crazy to think about.
Right. Yeah. And that's not like playing it. That's creating content.
Yeah.
And getting into that. So at that point, like, where you are today and with Campus to Canton, how has that changed your process
Oh, well, it's definitely improved. And I think a lot of that is just taking, I'll be honest, I really like to talk to other people that I respect and see. Because when I first started, like, I'm a guy who, like, I played football, but I've never played at, like, a high-end competitive level. I stopped playing my freshman year in high school. I had broken my wrist, and it was one of those things where it was like, I'm kind of a baby. I was like, I don't really want to get hurt like this anymore. So I went and I played soccer and baseball my whole life, too, so I played those. But I still love the game of football. And so I learned things here and there. I picked things up from people. And realistically, like, I don't know that you ever have a fleshed out process. Like, there's always things that I tweak about how I look at things. Like, in the past, I always used to just go completely by what my eyes told me. I'd watch players and like, okay, well, I think this guy does this and that, and that's all that matters. And then the past couple of years, after meeting people like Jarrett and Chris Moxley and these other guys who are really great with data and showing me a different side of things, I'm like, okay, well, now I kind of like digging into this stuff and like and digging into the data and what this tells you about players. Because you can look at things and tell you, okay, well, historically, players who have done this translate to the NFL doing this. So I like to try and pair the two when I can. I still don't understand all of that stuff, so it's a little bit above my head. I'm horrible with math. If you ask me what 2 plus 2 is, I tell you 8. It's really bad when it comes to that part of it. So I try to pair the two together. But yeah, I mean, my process is ever-changing. Like, I try not to ever just say, like, this is how it has to be. And when I see somebody who does something interesting, I ask them how they came to that conclusion. And I really like to figure out different ways to look at players. I think it's what also makes this a lot of fun, is never being, this has to be the way that a player has to be looked at kind of thing.
So Sam Howell.
Yeah.
Why did you choose Sam Howell?
Because he's an amazing quarterback, I really think. I've followed him. For those of you who don't know, because we did mention Camps to Canton really quick, I'll just say, like, we follow these players, like, from when they're literal freshmen. Well, not freshmen, but at least seniors in high school. Like, we're right now scouting seniors in high school, trying to figure out which freshmen you want to draft for your college teams here, for college to for Camps to Canton leagues. And so I've followed him for a long time, and I think he's a really good quarterback. I think this whole quarterback class in a whole gets kind of crapped on because they don't have, like, the Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence in it. But all these guys, or at least a couple of these guys, are really good. I mean, he was a two-sport athlete. He played baseball as well at an all-state level, which I'll bring back to that in a little bit is why I mentioned it. But, I mean, he set in high school the all-time North Carolina record for total yards was 17,036. And that came from 13,000 passing yards with a 145-41 touchdown to interception ratio. So 145 touchdowns at the high school level, which is pretty impressive.
Wow.
He then added 3,621 rushing yards and 60 rushing touchdowns. So he accounted for over 200 touchdowns at the high school level. Like, that's how much of, like, a dual athlete he was in high school. He was got like 32 offers. He was originally committed to Florida State, ended up going to UNC and staying home. And I think that's kind of what he's just a gamer, and he's always been that player. And I think many people may have soured on him after the season he just had here. I think there's a lot to explain that in the fact that he lost Daz Newsome, De'Ami Brown, Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, and like half of his offensive line. And, you know, you can probably say in the NFL that may not matter as much losing those pieces because you can still bring in players like that. But at a team like North Carolina, they're not Alabama on the college level. They're not bringing in five-star after five-star. So losing all of those players, I think, really hurt him. It kind of made him have a more sour season. But that's it's a constant debate for me right now between him and Matt Corral. I've evaluated four quarterbacks so far, and him and Corral are within, like, points of each other. And I go back and forth every day about which one I want to be my QB1, which at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. I try to tier my guys. Those are the only two in tier one is Matt Corral and Sam Howell. And I just Sam Howell's overall game, I'm very impressed with, and I really like.
And he started to run the ball a little bit more his last part of the year.
Yeah.
Think about that for the NFL. Do you think that's something that he'll bring with him to the NFL, or he was just using because he didn't have as many weapons?
I think it was definitely a little bit of both. So he, as I just mentioned again, 3,000 rushing yards in high school. He always had that part of his game, but he started as a true freshman at North Carolina. He actually played every single game from his true freshman, sophomore, and junior season. The only game he missed was this season. It was November 20th against Wofford. That was the first game he missed. It was due to a shoulder injury. So, I mean, he's played every single game. He's always run, but never as much as you just mentioned this year. I do think some of that was due to just the poor offensive line. If you watch some of the games they had this year, there were times like almost as soon as he got the snap, there were defenders in the backfield. So he relied a lot on his legs. He relied a lot on himself. And I do think that's kind of also what has hurt his stock a little bit this year is I think he tried to do a little bit too much at times. But he did show off that he's a dual threat. And I do think that translates to the NFL. I'll give Ray Garvin this shout out because this is not my comp. This is all Ray. So if this ends up being right, guys, praise him. But he always talks about with the way he rushes, he sees him as like a bite-sized Josh Allen. If that kind of helps put that in perspective of what he can do rushing wise. So I do think that translates to the NFL. Now, will he be able to? One of the things you'll see on his tape, if you watch it, is he'll drop his shoulder and run defenders over in the college level. I don't know if he does that at the NFL level, but he's still a very good runner. I do think it would probably behoove him to kind of slide and get out of bounds when he gets to the NFL level because some of those guys he's playing in the NFL level are not quite the ACC competition he was facing in college. So I do think he's a very good runner, though, and that will translate to the NFL.
Anything else you think he does well?
Yeah, so I think he is a very accurate passer. And so I had a couple things here. For his accuracy, he thrives on these moonshot deep balls that he just always seems to hit his wide receivers in stride. If you go back to De'Ami Brown last year, that's why a lot of people are so hyped about him coming out. Like, when those guys get open, like, he just throws that, and it just almost always hits his wide receiver. He has plenty of zip on his throws. He already shows NFL throws. And when I say an NFL throw, and it's something Felix kind of helped teach me, a guy that we were just talking about. When you can throw a ball with enough zip from the opposite hash to the opposite sideline and it hits your wide receiver, they don't have to move around for it, or you can hit him in stride. To me, and Felix has mentioned that's an NFL throw. He has those on tape. He's not afraid to challenge tight windows, and I do like that gunslinger mentality. It's one of those things where you can coach it out of a quarterback if you don't want it, but you can't coach that in. So if your quarterback is afraid to make a throw, sometimes I think that hurts them more than I can live with an interception here or there if he's also fitting a ball into an extremely tight window and getting you three or four touchdowns. He has a really quick release, which is, I mentioned earlier, he played baseball at an all-state level. I think that's kind of where that comes from. His release is very quick, very solid mechanics. And that's really, I think, the other big thing besides his legs is that he's just a very accurate thrower. I think overall his arm talent, which I know is kind of an overused term for quarterbacks, but I think that is very good for him. It's something that I think will translate very well to the next level as well, as his ability to pass the ball within a system, hitting his wide receivers in stride, has enough zip that it's not, he has an above average arm, I guess is where I would put it. He's not gonna have the Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen type of arm, but he's better than a Joe Burrow. He's a little below, I'd say the tier below Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Okay. So what kind of draft capital do you think we're going to put into Sam Howell?
Where
do you think he would go? Like, where will this fit?
The draft capital.
To De'Ami Brown again.
It's possible. I'm very curious to see what Washington would do. The draft capital part is an interesting thing for me because from everything I've read, and if you look, everybody's putting out mock drafts now. You know, ESPN, Draft Network, the Pro Football Network, like everybody's doing mock drafts right now. And a lot of them have him going in the second round, which is surprising to me because, as I just mentioned, I think he's right up there with Matt Corral as like the top two quarterbacks in this draft. If he goes in the second round, a spot that I would love to see him go to would be, I think they're the second pick, and that's the Detroit Lions. As you put him on the Lions system with DeAndre Swift, I think they likely take a wide receiver in the first round. So just spitballing here, they get a Treylon Burks or Jameson Williams in the first round, and they put Sam Howell behind, which many people may not realize because the Lions they played better this year, but they're not exactly a great team. They have like a top five offensive line.
Yeah, not exactly a great team.
They've got a top five offensive line, which I think
they put it together. Yep.
Yeah,
it was very important in the draft last year.
And I think that's kind of what we saw Howell at his best was his sophomore season when he had that great offensive line. It was by far his best season statistically with QBR and EPA, which are two of like the advanced stats that are most predictive to the NFL. And he had like his EPA was sitting, it was at 212, which was the third highest in this class overall. The only two who beat him in that was Carson Strong, but Carson Strong didn't do that until his fourth season, and Kenny Pickett, who didn't do it until his fifth season, which was this year. So you want to see that the earlier the better is more predictive. He did it in his second season, and then his QBR was sitting at like a 79.3, which was also high. It was actually, if you look at QBR, which is the most predictive from what I'm told by stats people, toward NFL success, he had a 79.3, which crossed the regression line, which the regression line means that anybody underneath that never put in a top 24 or rarely put in a top 24 season at the NFL for fantasy. Anybody above that has done it in multiple years. He crossed that line in his second year. So again, having that offensive line and those weapons was really good for him. Having DeAndre Swift, I mean, Jamal Williams is not a bad back either. He's very good. And if they can add, I mean, we saw what Amon-Ra St. Brown did. They're going to get T.J. Hockenson back. If they add another wide receiver, like, I think Sam Howell going there in the second round would be good. If he does go in the first round, two places that I do think would be fits would be Washington, as you mentioned, and Pittsburgh. I don't know why, but I really think Pittsburgh would be a good fit for him. They're going to have to improve their offensive line. That offensive line is not great. But Howell, just with the way that they have that spread offense now, Matt, there's rumors, obviously, Matt Canada may get fired, so we'll see what happens if they change their offensive system. But when he's got wide receivers he can get the ball to, and we know Pittsburgh has historically been able to develop wide receivers. They get those guys in the third and fourth round and have always developed them. That I think with those guys, you've got Najee for a couple of years. Like, Pittsburgh, I think, is a really good landing spot for him as well. But the draft capital, I would, for me, I don't see any way he falls out of the first round. Even if he starts falling, I wouldn't be surprised if a team trades up into the back end of the first to get him, because that fifth-year option for quarterbacks is massive. It would be stunning to me to see that. I still think he's at least a top 15 pick. But if he does fall, I think Pittsburgh toward the back end of the first, or if he goes into the second, I'd love to see him land with Detroit, which I know is probably something people would think that's crazy to hear, but I like what Campbell's done there, and I think they're not far off. And with that offensive line and those weapons, I mean, Sam Howell could be a beast, not just for the NFL, but for fantasy.
Do you happen to know top of your head where Detroit's second first-round pick lands?
They're the Rams' second round. They're the Rams' pick. So right now with the Rams, yeah. So depending on what happens with the Rams, they got the Buccaneers this weekend. So it'll be somewhere in that. What do we have left? Is it eight teams left? I'm trying to remember now off the top of my head. So it'll be in that like 24 to 32 range based on whatever
area they start to look to. And
yeah.
You cannot convince me that Mason Rudolph is going to be the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, not the planned quarterback.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I know Tomlin came out today and said that it's going to be a battle between Rudolph and Haskins, which if they're really trying to build up their team, I'm not an NFL GM. I mean, I'm sitting here, you know, at my house. We're doing a podcast. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Yeah. But for me, I've always thought if you're an NFL team, you get your quarterback first and you build around them. Because most of the time, if you're good to your quarterback, they're not going to leave you. You'll keep them for a long time. So if you believe Sam Howell's a franchise quarterback, in my opinion, you should take him in the first round. But if they really think that they can thrive with Rudolph or Haskins for a year or two and kind of rebuild that offensive line on the fly, maybe they do go after a guy in 2023. There's a couple good quarterbacks in that class. And I mean, far for me to criticize the Steelers. I mean, I'm a Browns fan, so I really don't like to say anything nice about the Steelers if I don't have to. But they're one of the more well-run franchises. And Mike Tomlin, in my opinion, is the best coach in the NFL besides Bill Belichick. So, I mean, if he thinks Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins can win him games, far be it for me to criticize that man, because he is incredible at his job. Never had a losing season. He's incredible, so he knows what he's doing. I don't, so I'll say I agree with you. But
saying he really wants and hopes he can give Dwayne Haskins a shot, because I feel like we've seen enough of Mason Rudolph.
Yeah,
to where I don't know. I was almost hoping the Steelers and Haskins, like maybe the change of scenery type thing, would be good for Haskins, but we haven't really seen him come out and play even when Ben's not around. So, what are some of the questions and or concerns you might have that could affect Sam Howell coming into his NFL career?
Yeah, so when I grade quarterbacks, one of the big things that I grade them on is their pocket. I just group it one together as pocket, but when I'm looking at that, it's pocket manipulation and poise. And that's one of my biggest questions for him. We mentioned it earlier that I felt like he did a little bit too much, and I do think that kind of affected him a little bit this year. There were times that he got a little bit too jittery and displayed what everybody calls the happy feet, right? Like one of the comps, the comp that I have for him is I think he's a souped up Baker Mayfield. I think he's a little bit better of a runner, and he's got a better arm of Baker Mayfield. But when I watch him, like, that's what I see when I see Baker play. And I kind of like, he's got that gunslinger mentality. We saw Baker have his rookie season in the NFL where he kind of burst onto the scene. I think Howe still has that. But he does a lot of what Baker does, too. Like, he gets a little bit too happy in the pocket when that rush gets there. He tries to run a little bit too much. Like, you'd like to see him pull a Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Like, when they know that the play's dead and there's nothing there, they either throw it out of bounds or they just lay down and take the sack. Howe sometimes tries a little bit too hard to make something happen. I think that he relies a little bit too much on his legs at times. Gets into bad plays, negative plays, fumbles, threw a fair amount of picks, but I don't really see, again, with the gunslinger attitude, you kind of have to accept that with the good. There's the good and the bad on that side. So for me, the biggest side for him is that, like, he's a little bit unnerved in the pocket sometimes, and I don't know, like, I'd love to see him step up instead of just bail out of the pocket. Sometimes you'll watch him at North Carolina, he'll bail out of clean pockets because of the whole, has Sam Darnold, but like seeing ghosts, like you think that pressure's coming and you actually have a clean pocket, so you bail out of it. You'd like to see him continue to do that. And now maybe, like I said, if he lands in Detroit, that won't be an issue because they've got a good offensive line. I didn't see as much of that his sophomore season, but again, he had a top 15 offensive line in college football that year. Last year is when a lot of this stuff came up, and then obviously the interceptions. But again, interceptions don't matter as much to me because I do think when you watch him, he does seem to be able to read defenses and make the right throws most of the time. So I don't think it's really bad decision making. It's just sometimes he forces balls he doesn't need to. He could take the check down. He doesn't have to force that ball into his wide receiver over the middle who's double covered. And that's a thing I think that part can get coached out of him, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, if we're going to keep him in Detroit, it might not even be that bad to keep Goff around for that first year.
Yeah.
Really, even with some of your concerns for him to play behind Goff, who, I mean, honestly, he's been to the playoffs. He's a career veteran. I mean, he could probably help somebody like Sam Howell out, especially if he kind of knew he was still fighting for his job in the NFL and at his time with Detroit. This is assuming they don't trade him. Maybe that is the kind of spot that would be good for somebody like Sam Howell, actually. And I'm in Michigan. I'm a Lions fan. So I'm with you, dude. I've enjoyed watching Dan Campbell and what he's doing to this team, quite honestly. I'm loving it. I think the team is getting behind it. And man, he's one. I was thinking about this today. He's one coach that I'm starting to trust too much because I don't like to trust coach talk a whole lot, but
right.
I don't want to take what Campbell says as the gospel, but it seems like a lot of the stuff he said, he's tried to do, like, whenever said player's healthy or whatnot. And I don't mind it, man. I'd like to see what Goff could do. I think Goff surprised some teams, but I don't mind this at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think Goff played a lot better than all of us thought he was going to. I mean, he was a lot better. Yeah, Dennis, you mentioned we do the roundtable together, and he's a Lions fan as well. And I've talked about, like, depending on what they do in this draft, I might kind of become a closet Lions fan as well because I like what Campbell's doing. I'm right there with you. I don't think they're that far off. I mean, they were in almost every single game. I can only think of like two times that maybe they were blown out this year. They were in every single game. You had Swift hurt. You guys lost Hawkinson in the back half of the season as well. You know, Amon Ra jumped on really strong at the back end of the season. So I think you've got a really good team in Detroit. You're just a couple pieces away from being like real contenders.
Yeah, I'll be completely honest. Since we're off the rails now, but that first game where I think it was Thanksgiving Day where everybody was mad that we lost. I was kind of in my head, I'm thinking like, well, why would we want to win at this point? Like, who cares, you know? Like, we kind of knew we sucked, right? But then once they won, I think it might have been the next week, and I saw what it did to that team and just like how hungry they were and what they were going to do, and they were going for it and going to prove people wrong. I loved it. Like, my attitude changed so quickly, and just watching them go for it, even when they were just going for the wins, just to play football, and they knew they weren't going to go much further than that, quite honestly, you know? So, I don't know. I am into Amon-Ra St. Brown. He is not only my highest rostered rookie, but he's my highest rostered wide receiver. Just by chance, I just happened to look the other day, and he's my highest rostered Amon-Ra St. Brown.
That's not a bad player to be invested in. I mean, he. I know a lot of people didn't like him because he got the fourth round draft capital, but I mean, and I don't buy the narrative that when Swift and Hockenson come back next year that he's just going to fade in back into the darkness. I mean, he's the guy they're going to build around right now. There's more than enough target volume to go around. And we saw Campbell, he ran the ball, but they also passed the ball off. They got Anthony Lynn's gone now? So I'll be curious to see who they bring in as their offensive coordinator. But I don't think Amon-Ra's going anywhere just because Hockenson comes back. I think he's at worst a wide receiver too moving forward. So
the consistency that he showed that last 6-7 games was it was I mean, he beat a lot of records. He tied a Randy Moss record. He beat a Odell Beckham Jr. record. He beat a Kelvin Johnson franchise record. Like, that's Amon-Ra St. Brown. I just don't think people want to say the name quite right yet.
Well, I think if Jamar Chase didn't have the season he had in Cincinnati, we'd probably be talking a lot more about Amon-Ra, but I think he's being overshadowed a little bit because of what Jamar Chase did. And we can be honest, but I think people just have a bad stigma on the Lions too. They think because it's Jared Goff who can't be supposedly a good quarterback, quote unquote, and he's on the Lions, that he's going to fade out. And I'm with you. I don't think that happens at all. I mean, you don't go out there and do what you did in the back half of the season and then completely just fade away next year.
Yep. I'm with you. Absolutely with you. So maybe Sam Howell will be throwing to him.
Hey, I think it'd be a great fit. I really do.
What do you feel like the consensus is on Sam Howell? Because I was looking through and I saw somebody say QB1 in this class.
Yeah. I feel like the NFL consensus is different than fantasy. Fantasy, I think he's at least top three for most people. NFL, it seems like he's behind guys like Malik Willis, who, again, he brings you the – people want him to be the next people comp him to Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar's a unicorn, but with what he can do with his legs and his arm talent, I think that's why they comp him to Lamar. I've seen some NFL circles where they have Desmond Ridder ahead of him. I'm one of Desmond Ridder's biggest fans, and I don't think Ridder is better than him. I think the issue people have with Hal is they don't think he's got much higher of a ceiling than what we've seen. And I can understand that argument, but I also think he's got the safest floor out of this entire draft class. Like, he's a guy that I think if we're a decade down the road, and you know, you're bringing me on in 2032 to talk about whatever prospects then, I'm
booking it right now, man.
And let's do it. I'll make sure to mark it in my calendar as well. I still think we could be talking about Sam Howell being a very good quarterback in the NFL. All these other guys, I think, could easily flame out and not be anything. They could all be backup quarterbacks. Even Matt Corral, everybody loves him because of what he can do off platform and his arm talent. But he has a lot of questions about his game as well. Howell, I think, has the safest floor out of everybody. I think that's what everybody's always trying to shoot from the moon, right? They want this guy. They want the Malik Willises of the world because of what he does with his legs. And he's got these great highlights where he runs around for 13 seconds in the backfield before he throws a 60-yard moonshot that scores a touchdown. And Howell he doesn't have that sexiness. Howell is just good. Like, he's got just clean mechanics, does everything the right way. And he's just, you're watching him playing like, oh, well, that's not sexy because he just threw like a, but it was a perfect pass. And I think that's where people get wrapped up in the Malik Willises of the world. And they don't give Howell the respect that he deserves. Like, do I think he's going to be a consistent for fantasy side of things, a quarterback one? Probably not. But I wouldn't be surprised if he sits in that, like, 14 to 16 range every single year in the NFL, depending on where he goes. And again, that is not a bad place to be. We've seen those guys can win you leagues. And even then, like, I think he can be better than a Kirk Cousins, but even a Kirk Cousins, who you talk about as like that middling quarterback too, there's been years that he's jumped up as a QB1 and won you leagues because of that in Superflex leagues. And I think that's where Hal can be.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Superflex, and we know that one quarterback still favors the market, but there's been still a slow and steady shift to more and more Superflex leagues. And even at like QB 15 to 16, you're still like going to have bye weeks with a QB1 league, but Superflex, a QB 16 is very valuable to me.
Yeah.
Especially in a world where, I mean, I'm really sick of Baker Mayfield. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I still love him. I don't know. I
don't want to talk about it.
I could end up being wrong here. I don't think this year is indicative of what Baker is. I honestly think he's more of what we saw last year. If you go back and look at that first game against Kansas City, which I get, like, Kansas City's defense wasn't quite as good at the beginning of the season as they are now, but he put up 300-plus passing yards. He looked really good in that game. Everybody hates on him because he had the back-breaking interception at the end of the game. They were driving down the field to win the game against Kansas City in week one. And then in week two, he separates his shoulder, tears his labrum. He's got two messed up knees. He's wearing that brace all season long. Like, I tend to believe what we saw out of Baker's rookie season and what we saw out of Baker last year
was,
yeah, I think that's the Baker that we're going to get next year if he's healthy. Like, I really think the injury is what kind of held him back more this season, because he was still decent. He wasn't great, but he was still decent. It was just a lot of issues with that team. The offensive line was beat up all year as well. I mean, Nick Chubb got beat up. They traded Odell. It was just this whole – the Browns team in general was kind of a hot garbage most of the year. People don't – they just – because we thought we were going to make the playoffs, it's all Baker's fault. I don't think it is. I think Baker's going to come out with a vengeance in 2022, and he's going to – maybe he's not a QB1. Like, I've always thought he could get there, but I think he could be exactly what I meant with just with Sam Howell. Like, he can fall into that QB16 range moving forward if he's healthy. So I'm not sick of him yet. Now, check back with me next year. Check back with me on January 18th of 2023. We'll see how I feel about Baker. But I do think he can bounce back.
Week 5 or 6 of 2022. We'll talk about it then. What about somebody like you mentioned? You mentioned like Baker Mayfield, actually. Do you have a player comp maybe out of the 2020 class? Anybody you feel like he was similar to?
If I had to pick one out of the 2020 class, he'd probably be closer to, I'd probably have to say Zach Wilson. I mean, he's got more mobility than Mac Jones. I think he'd be like a merge of those two, if I could merge those two together, because he's got more mobility like Zach Wilson does, but I think his mechanics and the way he plays is more like Mac Jones when it comes to just the overall quarterback position. I think if he was in the 2020 class, Zach Wilson was my QB5, and I think I'd probably have House 6. I would still have him the lowest out of all those guys that came out last year, but that's just because Zach Wilson, I think, has got a tad bit of a better arm than Howell does. So I'd put him like right in the mold of those two. Like, he's not what Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Fields can be, but I don't think he's much worse than what we saw out of Zach Wilson and Mac Jones.
And maybe a better year or two for Zach Wilson, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Who is your guy in this 2022 class, even your Debbie League, somebody you're going out and still trying to acquire, or somebody in our rookie drafts that you do not want to leave without?
This can be any position. Does it have to be any position? Sure. That's a good question. There's two of them that I don't think you would have to pay much for that I'm trying to get, and they're a little bit of dart throws on both of them. Calvin Austin III, he's a wide receiver out of Memphis. He is going to the Senior Bowl, so I do think there's a shot that he jumps up boards here in the next, I think Senior Bowl's in a couple weeks at this point, 2-3 weeks away. If he goes out there and has a big week, he's a smaller guy. But we've seen the past 5-6 years, and I don't have the list all. Maybe I can... stall for a second and see if I can find this note, because I was looking this up the other day with there we go. So Tavon Austin was drafted in the 8th round. T.Y. Hilton III, Cole Beasley was undrafted. But then in the past couple of years, in the recent NFL draft, Jameson Crowder went in the 4th, Rondale Moore in the 2nd, Tutu Atwell went in the 2nd as well. All these guys, undersized wide receivers. Now, obviously, only T.Y. Hilton, Cole Beasley, and Jameson Crowder have had a ton of success at the NFL level. Can't say anything really about Rondale or Tutu. They were just drafted. I mean, Tutu, I think, was a little bit overdrafted, if I'm being honest, with the Rams. Rondale, I still think, has a shot to be good. Calvin Austin, he's a smaller guy, 5'9", 162, but has legitimate track speed. Like, he was a track star in high school. He got a scholarship to come play or be on the track team at Memphis, and he walked on to the Memphis football team. When he started out as a freshman, he was a track star trying to play football, but over the past 4 years, I believe he's become a football player with track speed. He's a very, very good wide receiver, can be used inside and outside. I think he's probably more of a slot receiver in the NFL, so he's a guy I'm targeting. And then at running back, Abram Smith, running back out of Baylor. If you go look at what he did this past season, he was a linebacker for 3 years in college, shifted to running back this year, and just like blew all these metrics out of the water. He was top five in everything that matters at the running back stat. And I don't remember this one off the top of my head. I know I won't be able to find this, but I talked about it recently on Debbie Debate. The players that have been in the top five of those categories the past couple of years were the likes of Jonathan Taylor. It was Melvin Gordon. It was all running backs who have succeeded at the NFL level. And I don't think he's Jonathan Taylor. But with what he does, he's a bruiser, but he's got pretty good feet. He's got burst. He can catch the ball. He's not great at it right now. It doesn't mean that he can't improve. But his vision is very good. Like, I think he could be a guy who's gets like sneaky round three draft capital that like nobody's talking about because everybody thinks this running back class is bad outside of Breece Hall, Isaiah Spiller, and Kenneth Walker. He's a guy I think you could get that could end up being something in the NFL, and I think you could like throw a fourth round. I don't even know if he's rostered in Debbie Leagues, to be honest with you, but if he is, I think you could throw like a fourth round pick at him and you could get him because I don't think a lot of people expect him to be good.
Ooh, that could be a savvy move.
Yeah.
And if you're in Debbie Leagues, you might want to get ahead of it now. Start sending those trades out. One last question.
Yeah.
We'll get you out of here. Back to your family. What is something you suggest, some kind of advice you give people to do within their rookie drafts or the offseason this year going into 2022 to make their teams a little bit better?
Let's see. The best advice I can give you, and it may sound silly, but I've done it before, and I do think it's kind of hurt my teams, is stop drafting for need. Just draft the best player available. There have been times where I have taken, this may end up turning around and working out for the best. There was a league that I was in, actually started on the FLA, blog. We, a bunch of us got together, started at one of the first dynasty leagues that I'd ever been in with that. And just this past couple years ago, I really needed a running back. And so I took Keyshawn Vaughn. And it's a super flex league. And I took Keyshawn Vaughn. I'm pretty sure I passed over. I'm almost positive it was Herbert that I passed to get Keyshawn Vaughn. Really does not look like a good decision right now. And it was because I felt like I really needed a running back. Where if I just took the quarterback, I think I know everybody wants to look at, especially with running backs, because there's so few of them that have been like really successful. It feels like every single year you always want to have a bunch of running backs because they get injured so much. You want to have those backup guys. But I think if you just draft the best player available, sometimes you're going to end up with excess players and then you can trade them to get those extras. And you just draft, even if you end up four wide receivers in a rookie draft, and you're sitting there like, man, do I really want to take four wide receivers in a row? But if all those guys hit, you now have excess wide receivers and you can trade those guys for something else. And I feel like it's easy when people say that, but then I really notice a lot of times when people do this, like people ask me a question like, hey, I've got these two players on the board. And I'm like, okay, well, you should take this player because he's the better player. It's like, but I really need a wide receiver. But it doesn't matter. Like, I know you need a wide receiver, but best player available, and you can always make trades after the fact. And don't trade now. Save your picks. I know it's hard because it's the off season and there's nothing we can do. And those picks are burning a hole in your pocket. But every year we always talk about, like, everybody beginning of this year was saying the 2022 class was bad. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, this wide receiver class is really good. And some of these quarterbacks might be kind of good. And we've got a couple running backs we really like. When the draft comes around and some of these guys land in really good landing spots, those picks that you decided to hold on to are going to have infinite more value than they have right now. So yeah. Don't trade them. Hold them. I promise they'll have more value when the draft comes around.
Love it. They're literally gaining value as we speak every single day. If you didn't trade those picks away to help you win a championship last year, you should absolutely, I agree. Hold those picks as long as you can. Even if you want to move them and you even if you want out of the class, and maybe that's you, maybe we'll talk you into some rookies and you'll keep your picks. But even if you want out of the class, hold those picks as long as you can. At Sports Fanatic MB, Matt Bruning, killing it on the mic all night until we got to Keyshawn Vaughn. But we're going to give him a mulligan on that because I think it had some solid advice and learned from the process. And that's what we're trying to do here. Campus Canton, man, I'm going to let you tell him and close it out. I appreciate you a ton for being here, though. Killed it, Sam Howell.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for having me on. This is the first time I've been able to jump on the mic with you, and I appreciate that. I always love getting to talk to more people. like we talked about before, this is what we love to do, so it's always fun to jump on it and talk with people. Yeah, as you mentioned, you can find me on Twitter at SportsFanaticMB, and all of my everything I do is at CampusToCanton.com. If you guys are interested in it, check it out. We have a ton of free content on the website. Practically everything there is free, except for our rankings. You can poke around there. If you have any interest in the format or anything, you can always shoot me a DM. I'm happy to talk to you guys about it. You just want to talk college prospects, rookies, whatever. I'm an open book. My DMs are always open. I love to talk. Love to talk football. And again, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. And that monthly rate is $2.99.
It is.
Is that correct?
$2.10 a day. Yeah, it is $2.99 a month, or you can pay. And I'm going to get like destroyed by my co-founders here because I don't remember the exact monthly. It's cheaper than 30, but I can't remember how much
promotion you guys have where you can get $20.
Yes. So if you guys like doing betting stuff, I do know that one. That's $20. I know that one. It's the monthly one always gets me because I think it's like $28.99 or $29.99. It's cheaper than 30, but barely. But it saves you money because if obviously it's like 36 if you're paying the whole year at the $2.99 rate. But anyway, if you want to go to prizepicks.com, it is $20. They match you up to, I believe, 50. And if you use our code, promo code C2C, you not only get your $20 match if you just want to go 20, you actually get free access to our entire site for a year. So you're saving the $9 plus you get $20 match. So realistically, you're getting $40 in value for Prize Picks. You type in our C2C, get access to our Discord. We've got a lot of projects coming up this offseason that I can't announce that will also be coming to our subscribers as well. So, yeah, I mean, if you guys want to go the route, if you love betting, I mean, we're right in the middle of the NFL playoffs. I've got all kinds of player props on Prize Picks as well. $20, our promo code C2C, and you get free access to for a year on our website as well.
Yep, and that is just the number two. Same with the Twitter feed. If you want to see this stuff, if you haven't subscribed yet and you want to see some of the new stuff that's coming out and why you should subscribe, then it's at Campus Canton on Twitter as well, or at Sports Fanatic would be Matt. And you guys have already heard from Felix. I'm sure you'll hear from more Campus Canton guys as we unroll more of the Rookie Fever player profiles. Again, I super appreciate you. This is a great time. I don't know how we haven't gotten in touch till now, but appreciate you and your time and the time you took away from your family. I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever, and we when you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone. Size must be just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's his breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever when we kiss it. Fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever. So she got the fever. And he got the fever. No cure for the fever. So let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. What a lovely way to burn. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.